Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his closest friends their marching orders. And the mandate he delivered to 11 ordinary men has personal implications for us all. It's called the Great Commission. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to relive these history-altering moments when Jesus placed the integrity of the gospel into the hands of people just like you and me. As we look at Matthew chapter 28, our goal is to discover the vital role we fill today in making disciples of all nations. Chuck titled today's message, What Now?
There is a bold assurance that comes at the end of this great book that reminds us, dear Father, that we will never be abandoned. We are never on our own. That though we may live alone, we are not alone. That though we may feel isolated, we are not isolated. You are with us always. You stay with us. You minister to us. You touch our lives in ways that no one else can reach. And you alone are able to transform us from what we are naturally to what you want us to be supernaturally. Thank you for preserving the writings of Matthew, for giving us such profound information from a man who early in his life never gave a second thought to Jesus. Thank you for transforming his life, and through his transformed life, for inspiring his pen to write living truth that would last a lifetime. Open our hearts to realize, Lord, that this commission has no ending, but continues throughout our lives on this earth. Motivate us. Prompt obedience from us. Reprove us for indifference toward it. And then empower us with the passion to carry it out. Use our gifts today for the purpose of sending this message that we love and teach and obey to places far beyond these walls, into lives we've never met and perhaps never will, and to places we'll never go. Give wings to your word that these truths may fly free and far. We commit this prayer to you and our offering. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Master, our Lord. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called, What Now?
The plan Jesus set in motion before he ascended back into heaven is the only plan that will work, the only one he will honor and bless, because it is the inspired plan. That's why it is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. That's why it's great. When obeyed, it works. To fully appreciate it again, we return to the scene where it was first given. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. We come to the actual setting right there in the land of Israel, in the region of Galilee, where Jesus and the disciples had their rendezvous. He is in a glorified, resurrected state, and he's able to speak to them. He has already eaten a meal with them by the seashore, and now they are listening to him as he gives them instruction. But we observe the first thing they do when they see him is they worship him, just as you and I will do when we first lay eyes on Jesus. I would imagine most of them fell to their knees, some of them on their faces, as they acknowledged him because he alone is worthy of worship. Perhaps they poured out their praises as they said their words of gratitude and honor to him. But Matthew adds this comment because he was there with them. Some of them doubted. How could that be? How can you worship and doubt? Well, if I may, you and I do it all the time. Even when we gather to worship, there are those doubts that lie perhaps unexpressed at the moment, but there they are nevertheless. I wonder how that situation will go tomorrow when I'm with my doctor. I wonder if what was earlier diagnosed is true. I wonder if my son will ever come back to the Lord. I question, and then on and on the doubts go. So they doubted. What would they doubt? Well, think about it. Up until now, they've always had him with them. After a night's sleep, they would wake up and there he was. During a day when they met up with a situation where someone was struggling with demons, there he was to deal with the demons. Or there was someone who was crippled and unable to get around, he was there to heal them. Or the sea was troubled, he was there to calm it or to raise the dead. But he's going to leave them. So they wonder what will happen then. What will it be like when we won't have the Master with us? Surely that was one of their concerns. Before, you were always there, but now it feels like you're abandoning us. So they're struggling with doubts as well as experiencing true worship. There are so many unanswered questions in their minds. So Jesus speaks. I'm confident that much of what he said calm their questions and doubts and settle their hearts. Jesus knows this, and realizing this, decides to tell them what will be their marching orders from here on. And by the way, following verse 20, will you look in your Bible? It's blank. There's a blank space. This is it. This is the plan. This is the Great Commission. I want to point out four things I observe about it. I think it will help make it even clearer than you may already think you know it. So, with your pen handy, let me observe with you these four things. Each begins with the name of Jesus. First, we read in verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples. Stop right there. Here's what I want you to write down and remember. Jesus spoke to very ordinary people who knew him personally. He spoke to very ordinary people who knew him personally. Unfortunately, we have lived our lives surrounded by those who have wanted to convey the sincerity and the devotion of the disciples, and through the artist's brush, or perhaps the words of a very colorful artist or author, we have seen the work on canvas, or we've read in books words that describe the disciples in ways that make them appear as though they are some kind of super spiritual human beings. They were not. They were ordinary people. The people he talked to were folks just like us. Not till the Holy Spirit came on them did they have any power. You want to know what they look like? I'm going to pause for 5 seconds and give you an example. Look around. Some of you aren't even doing that. Look around. Okay, there are the disciples. And you're thinking, they look like that? There they are. That's what they look like. Just folks. Just men. In this case, all men. Just guys. He spoke to them. I know where I'm going with this, and I have a reason for pausing at this, which may seem ludicrous to some of you that want to hurry on. Stop thinking of anyone named in the scriptures as a halo-wearing, saintly-looking individual. They weren't. We've already read they doubted. They're sinful. They were guilty of coming to wrong conclusions. They were fearful. They weren't sure what to do next. They had nothing in their system that made them glow or stand out. And when you were around them, you wouldn't even know they were disciples. They didn't have any badge or little flags. I am a disciple. None of that. None of that. They just were men. That's what it says. He told his disciples. Now we're ready for the second. Jesus presented his plan, which was brief, simple, and clear. He presented a plan that was brief, simple, and clear. He spoke calmly and deliberately. No theological jargon, no mumbo jumbo, no secret code language. Didn't require an explanation. He doesn't explain the words. He just gives them because they are all self-explanatory. And look for yourself. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. We'll go on in a minute, but just stop right there. He had authority over everything on earth and in heaven. They didn't. He does. We don't. He does. And he makes that clear. So he has the right to level a command. He certainly outranks us. As the second member of the Trinity, he has the right to declare a statement that requires obedience. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. This would be their marching orders from now on. Now, let me have you notice something very important. The main verb is make disciples. Now look again at the commission. You would think the main verb would be go, but it isn't. You might even think the main verb would be teach. It isn't. So let me render it correctly, or render it in a way that underscores the main verb. Therefore, make disciples of all the nations, going, baptizing, and teaching. These three other words surround the main word, make disciples. It will take going. It will certainly involve baptizing those who believe, and it will definitely include teaching. But the main commission is the making of disciples. When you are involved in making disciples, men, don't limit your involvement to the familiar, your own world. Plan to be going beyond the familiar to people who have a culture that's different from yours, who speak a language unfamiliar to you, because I want you to go into all the nations. In fact, let me have you notice the repeated use of all. Look at it. All authority, verse 18. All the nations, verse 19. All the commands, verse 20. I will be with you always from now on, wherever you go, to whatever nation. There are no limitations, there are no reservations, there is no area marked off because it is dirty or dangerous or because the people are sophisticated or perhaps live in a lower standard than you. Perhaps they are people that are illiterate or there are those who are highly educated. All the nations. Now let me give you the third statement that I observe here. Jesus was intense about the mission, but flexible regarding the method. He was intense about the mission, but flexible regarding the method. The words all reveal intensity. All. This church has on its heart a global outreach of ministry. We reach, as we'll see in our next Sunday or two, we reach where we are. We reach the community where we are located. We reach beyond our community. We reach beyond that and then beyond the seas to other places. The method we may use is very different from one place to another because Jesus doesn't spell out how to make disciples. He simply says, make them. I rather like that. I like the idea of flexibility, and we're free to go there. You are certainly free to do that. Home study group in one way, person to person in another, evangelistic outreach in one way, Bible studies in another, and on I could go. Insight for Living Ministries has, as a part of our marching orders, what we call Vision 195. It comes from the fact that our State Department has revealed that there are 195 nations around the world. Some are islands, some are large nations, some are small nations, some are nearby, many of them are away beyond the seas from where we live. But there are 195 of them. Our vision is to go to all of them ultimately. Now, having said that, We must keep in mind that there are different cultures at every one of those nations. You don't speak to people who are from Australia as you would speak to people who are from America. Australians have a culture that's unique to them. They speak English, but they have a culture that's unique. You don't go to a country in Africa and communicate to them or expect from them the kind of things you would as if you were going to minister in New Zealand or Japan or Indonesia. So there's a flexibility that must be built into the method. Let me give you some examples, and I've written them in a number of areas so you'll remember them. It'll hit one spot or two that you'll be familiar with. Your method may be large arenas, or it may be small groups. Your method of reaching out may be to sophisticated intellectuals. They're reached one way. Or it may be to be students on a campus, another way. Your target may be athletes. You reach athletes a certain way, not like you reach artists in studios doing their unique work. Workers on construction sites, laborers are reached one way, entertainers are reached another in the film industry or the television industry. Millennials who live in the urban sprawl are reached one way. Teenagers who live in the country, smaller villages, are reached another. Then there are entrepreneurs. There are people in the military. There are professionals and politicians. There are prisoners living behind bars. There are islanders. There are New Yorkers. There are people from the metropolises around the country, Chicago, Miami, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Boston, Dallas, Los Angeles, Seattle. You can name them. That's just here in America. But reaching them in Sao Paulo is not like reaching them in New York. Or reaching them in Tokyo is not like reaching them in the heart of China. The point is you're to reach all the nations, keeping in mind that there are cultural uniquenesses that need to be honored, observed, cooperated with. That is why so often before an individual can really minister in a nation, he must learn the language of that nation. Because the language is the green light to the lives of people who live there. If you don't know their language, you are as if you are living back in these United States trying to reach them in their country. So you've got the point. Flexible regarding method. Here's the fourth. Jesus expected obedient action from all of his followers. How do I know that? Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you.
Well, there's much more we need to learn from this passage in Matthew 28 about the Great Commission. You're listening to Insight for Living, and Chuck Swindoll will conclude with a closing comment in just a moment. Now, the title of today's message is What Now? It's one of four in a brand new mini-series, and you can purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files by going to insightworld.org/store. Chuck, with just a few moments remaining in the program, we've set everything aside to reflect on this defining moment when Jesus gave the disciples his parting words.
Thanks, Dave. Have you noticed when good friends say goodbye, some of the most profound statements are exchanged in their final moments together? Imagine what it was like for the men who stood with Jesus just before he ascended into heaven. Scripture tells us that the 11 disciples
went up to the mountain where they saw Jesus, and they worshiped him. But some of them doubted. Doubted? Really? Seems incredible that even in that sacred moment, some of Jesus' closest friends were second-guessing him. Well, you and I have the benefit of watching history unfold, don't we? And at Insight for Living Ministries, we're not second-guessing Jesus whatsoever. What our Lord said to his closest friends on that hilltop has become the driving force of my life. In fact, the Great Commission has caused me to remove the word retirement from my vocabulary. Jesus said, without apology or qualification of any kind, "Go and make disciples." And his mandate was not isolated to those first disciples, or to preachers, or missionaries, or evangelists. It's for every Christian. In fact, it's for you. For this reason, I'm calling on you to join me in this all-out campaign to make disciples. You have my word. Every dollar you donate to Insight for Living Ministries is stewarded with utmost care and integrity. And every gift is directly channeled into fulfilling the Great Commission. Can I count on you to do your part? Please, don't wait for someone else to fulfill your role. Don't be like the individuals who stood in the shadows and doubted Jesus. Pick up that phone, or go online, or write your letter today. Thanks so much.
Getting in touch with Insight for Living is simple. You can choose one of two methods. First, simply give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, give by calling 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online by visiting our website at insight.org. Our phone number, once again, 1-800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org. Be sure to join us Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll concludes his message called What Now? Right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What Now?, was copyrighted in 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.